Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Hi, everyone. Once again, we are back for the new season, so this is technically our Season 4 first episode podcast. Now, we are planning to have an actual preview of the Premiership as before it starts next week, so look out for that. But this time, we are going to have a preview because there's lots of things still going on in the off-season, which we're excited about. Not the least of which is international football, which we will get into. Before we fully get into Road to Russia, we are going to have blogs up because we've all been analyzing the various different conferences. The Fool has done the hard one of doing UEFA and I'm doing all the rest. Which I think is the right way to divvy that up.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's complicated.
UEFA does get complicated. Now, we know that the World Cup in 2026 is due to be expanded. Now, we were talking about this, where I think increasing the number of spots for certain continents are good, and some of them are kind of not good, in a counterintuitive way, almost. UEFA getting more spots makes sense. I think there are more UEFA countries now, and it is one of the largest federations in terms of members, and it has a bulk of the top sides in terms of rankings in it. So nobody, I think, is really complaining about them getting an increase in the number of teams in there. So they get 16, which is similar to how the European Championships used to be before that expanded. So an increase of 3, which I think is fair. Oceania finally getting a direct spot, I think both good and bad for Oceania. Yeah. Like, it really makes it good, and it maybe even means that Australia will come back to Oceania? I mean, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you if you were Australia? Like, do you go for a guaranteed World Cup spot or do you stay in Asia and improve? See, this is what I think is the problem. I think potentially Oceania getting one spot is going to make stagnate New Zealand football.
Yeah.
And heck, it's very unlikely for any other Oceania country to catch up with New Zealand in footballing stakes just because football has more money here.
Yeah.
More of a grassroots movement.
The only thing that's going to happen is if the All Whites trip up like they did, they've done a few times where things don't quite go right, they haven't quite...
Or they break one of the rules in
or don't quite get the eligibility rules quite right, you know. They've done these sort of things in the past where something's not gone right, or they've, you know, lost to New Caledonia or Solomon Islands or something in a...
lose to another side, and that's totally possible. But this is why it's a campaign, and it's very unlikely, especially with a World Cup spot guaranteed, you're almost certainly going to recall your best players from Europe and things, and they're going to have more of a chance to be viewed at the World Cup. It's like this growth thing that keeps growing.
And the other benefit of it is that they become more attractive to other teams for friendlies. Because they know they're going to be at the World Cup, so the other team's like, we'll have a friendly with you and build-ups to main tournaments and sort of things, because, you know, it's going to be a World Cup playing side, so...
Worthwhile thing. That's definitely one of the things. But the other way is because we're not constantly playing... Like Australia, I think they've radically improved since moving to Asia. To the point where, like, there was a point where Australia and New Zealand were quite close, I think, in terms of their ability. Like, Australia was better, but New Zealand could always catch up.
New Zealand
would occasionally still win Oceania Cups with Australia playing in it and play in Confederations Cups. I don't think that could happen anymore if Australia was at this level and playing against New Zealand and could maintain that level. See, if Australia went back into Oceania, I think it would be a step back. Their quality of football would lower.
Yes.
Which is why you and I have talked about this, and I think we agree that ideally Oceania should merge with Asia.
Yes, I think that we have talked about this multiple occasions past. I think that's a very good idea. I do agree. I think problem being really is the cost factor of the merger for the island nations.
Yeah.
Like if that was part of the full Asia Pacific confederation, having to go all the way over to, you know, Saudi Arabia and Central Asia and stuff, that's a big lot of money and big trip for the smaller island nations. But if we divide it up into divisions or something like that to do the first rounds of qualifying and those sort of things, then you could sort of sort it out.
And I think the other idea I had is having regional tournaments for Asia makes a lot of sense. This way you don't lose the Oceania Championships, which would still remain a trophy. And I think what would we could do is also allow the top two teams from the teams that make the finals of every regional tournament have like a bye into the third round of the Oceania Asia qualifiers. So yeah. then you'd obviously have a fourth round, which is like where everybody plays off each other and goes in. I think that would make or at least get seeded when it comes to the pools when you have them.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So something beneficial to give the regions a meaning, and then use that to qualify. There is a potential where certain regions like Oceania, Southeast Asia, ASEAN, and the South Asia regions would start falling behind.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'd look at it again.
Yeah. So you don't want to get too separated out.
Yeah.
Because then, as you say, they're only playing each other, so they're only going to be as good as each other then.
Yeah.
You've got different regions going better. So
maybe you just go straight, and because the Asia Federation are reasonably well off in terms of money, they would be happy to subsidize, you know, the island nations' travel arrangements and things like that.
The other problem about the travel is not so much that it's A, the time and the cost, but it's also the fact the island nations are not really professional players, so that's time off for them as well, so that's harder for them, for the actual players themselves, whilst, you know, Japan, Korea and the like are all professional players.
Yeah.
So their travel to games is a lot easier. You know,
it is their job, so they do it.
As opposed to someone else who's got to get time off their day job, travel halfway around the world, and it's going to be halfway around the world, to get to this football tournament and then play well and then come back, you know. It's just So there is a bit of logistic issue, there's a bit of financial issue, there's lots of issues there to sort their way through, but it's the sort of thing that's not impossible to sort out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the sort of thing where you get it a bit better, and you say you might have a regional tournament in odd years, and that gives a bit more play time for the players, and you have a bit of mixing up there.
Rather than have multiple divisions, you have two divisions.
Yeah.
And then, like, that way, because at least that way you've got the strong Middle Eastern teams in one division, you've got the strong East Asian teams in the other division, pulling everybody else up.
Well, I think, for qualification, so your first round basically is those two, divide it in half for the first round, and then from there head into group everybody together after that, because then you give the smaller nations a chance to play some good football and be exposed to it, which hopefully will, help to build up that level, and at the same time we'll be being able to get the best teams into playing each other.
Yeah. And like, as we know, by 2026, FIFA are pushing hard. They want to get into India and China.
Yeah.
They want them regularly qualifying for the World Cup. This is why we have the ISL now in India, and we have the Chinese League going hips and... I can see it coming. Like, there will be a time when China and India qualifying for the World Cup is something we just take for granted, like Mexico or Argentina or Brazil qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah. No, I do agree that it's at some point, especially China, but also India. Like, it's the only difference I see there is the sort of more state focus on it, maybe.
Maybe, but this is the thing, like, just segueing into a cricket-ish podcast here, like, I think the FIFA are doing the opposite of the ICC, where the ICC, while they have grown the game to more test players, they're making the World Cup a more exclusive thing and lowering the number of players, which I think is the wrong decision, because at the end of the day, if India starts qualifying for the World Cup all the time, people are going to start watching football more than they watch cricket.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed. If India starts regularly qualifying for semi-finals and quarter-finals, 50-60 years from now, people are just going to go, who was Sachin Tendulkar again? And I'm not even saying that unironically. Like,
No, I know what you mean.
How many people in India can name players from the last team in Moscow who won the gold and the hockey? And that's my argument for why I think I'm right. Anyway, looking at each division and the improvement, the other division which I think is going to suffer in quality is CONMEBOL. They have been given 1.5 new spots to raise up to a straight six. I think having 6 out of 10 teams qualify directly is going to negatively affect the lower teams. And like, your Brazil and Argentinas were always fine. They're always going to be of a high quality. But this is the thing. CONMEBOL became amazing because everybody plays against each other. It's the toughest, yet has the most mathematical chances of you to qualify.
Yeah.
It is one of the highest. And I think now that mathematical chance is too high and the toughness is the same, in a way, makes it a lot easier for them to get to the World Cup. We knew the 4.5 teams, four or five, fifth team that made to, from South America into the World Cup was going to do something. They were going to be good teams. They were, they'd gone through a tough, grueling qualifying spot, and it wasn't easy to qualify from there.
No, exactly. I think you're right. With 4.5, there's just that, it's just that little bit of an edge. Like, it's not, no team can take it for granted. They can't take any game. Like, look at this latest rounds where Argentina's sitting, I think, still in fifth spot.
Now they would be going, oh, so we can finish sixth. We don't care.
Yeah, exactly. With sixth, that's, you know, another spot, another couple of spots of a bit easier riding. So, and as you say, it's not going to push them quite as hard. They're not going to be as worried about some of those games.
Like, I think combining CONMEBOL and CONCACAF is potentially too big, because that's 45 teams for 12 spots, which would be good. But I think the reason why CONMEBOL is good is because it's so tight and well packed. Yeah. And I think CONMEBOL could maybe just increase by maybe even up to 14 members, which is like a Copa America size. Yeah. If they had some of the Central American teams join, some of the Caribbean teams maybe here and there, and then because there are two teams in South America, in the South American continent, that just don't play in CONMEBOL, which is Guyana and Suriname. They play in the Caribbean, which by rights they should be in the South American division.
In South America.
Being that they're in South America. Maybe Panama, which has technically got some parts of it in South America. And maybe Trinidad and Tobago, which is on the South American continental shelf. So there you've got 12. I think 12 gives it right. It's 50-50 whether you qualify. That actually makes it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That said, if you did combine the two Americas, I mean, 45 teams. That's pretty much the same as most of the other big
big divisions. And you've got 12 teams to qualify. And
especially if you're putting Oceania into Asia, because that's going to be up to, what, 57?
Yep.
Africa's 54. UEFA's 55. So, you know, combined America's still less than all those. So.
That's true. And I guess they could work out a way to divvy it up. It won't be as intense as the CONMEBOL qualifying.
No. That's what you're missing. You're missing that really intense.
And arguably, in that setting, with CONMEBOL and CONCACAF combined, you could almost just have every South American country, every current South American member qualify for the World Cup, along with Mexico and America. That's maybe Venezuela would miss out, and you'd have Costa Rica. You know, you'd have those 13 teams. It's very hard for the others to get a look in at that point.
Yeah, I guess that is quite true.
Well, we'll see how they decide to do. And I very much so doubt, even as much of a good idea as I think Oceania joining the AFC would be, I don't think it's happening.
No, it won't happen. I think that's the greatest pity. It won't happen. It probably should, but it won't. You just know it won't.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, it won't happen because, and this is a really cynical view, it won't happen because it drops a vote out of FIFA, out of the voting thing. So it's a whole less thing that makes it maybe less divvy up better for all the lobbying and vote buying.
There could be some sort of agreement with the AFC going, Oceania's vote would remain with an Oceania member, someone from an Oceania member country.
Where you just all play together and merge our qualifying spots. I don't know. Might even solve the Phoenix's problems with the Australian, well, some of the Phoenix problems with the Australian Football League, with it being, at least they're not part of a different conference, which is causing some of the issues.
Well, the thing, that's right, the Phoenix are a unique club in world football because they play in another continent's club competition, not just in another country's club competition.
Exactly.
And I believe they are the only team in the world that does that.
I'm pretty sure they are the only team that does that as well.
Yeah. So, well, that being said, we are going to look a little bit on the tournament so far. What did you think of the Confederations Cup, other than the blatantly unreliable animal predictor animals? We can't criticize the polar bear too much. She's an orphan.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be too harsh with them, but Russia do have to like settle on their prediction animal.
And it has to be a reliable. It has to be reliable. Don't pick a cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you pick a cat?
I'm a cat person, and even I'm like, why did you? I mean, come on, that's not what cat reliable predictions. That's not what cats are about.
No, there's no such thing as a reliable. See, you can predict. You can rely on an octopus to do clever things. And be smart. Like, it will outsmart you. You might not be able to predict how, but it will.
Yeah.
And the polar bear, like, I understand, it's a solid animal. Like, you know, you think bear's reliable. Yes, that's there. But, you know, they picked, like, she's an orphan. Like, come on, give her a break. That's, like, such pressure.
Yeah, poor polar bear.
But on the other hand, she is raising money for polar bear conservation through the Moscow Zoo, so we can't criticize her too much. She does social work as well.
Social work, no, can't really complain. But other than that, I don't know, the Confed Cup was, I thought it was okay. I didn't mind it. It was good.
It was a good tournament. I
just felt really up and down about it. And not just because New Zealand sort of was really poor and had like a poor run into it.
Yeah.
I
think the hosts are going to be a bit unhappy about how they played as well. Like, they're only a year behind and they don't look anywhere near ready for the World Cup. So Russia, well, I hope they get an easy group, because it's always sad when a host side doesn't make the next round or doesn't get a few good wins for their crowd. Like, South Africa at least beat France, even though they stayed in the group stage, you know?
Yeah, but it helped with the vibe of the place. You know, you need the host country doing well so the crowds are excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of the crowds are coming from the host country.
Yeah.
You get a good sense of atmosphere at the games if they're happy and, like, even if you say the team didn't necessarily do that well, at least if they did some things well or had a good showing or did something well. And the Russian fans are going to expect Russia to do well.
So they're going to
make it to out of the group stage, I would think, since they will technically have a slightly easier draw, since they will be drawn not with a top,
they're technically the top seeded team in the draw.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so they should hopefully get a reasonably easy group. But, Brazil ended up with Croatia in their group in the last time. So it shows you there's no easy teams to play.
Yeah.
Well, there will be at least two other difficult teams to play against.
Yeah, well, there will be other difficult teams. But that's sort of the way World Cups go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, until they've expanded it, that's 2026 will be a little different.
It'll be a bit different. And then by 2036, I think, or 38, it'll be back to being difficult. And, people will get used to it being competitive.
Yeah.
And that's how it usually goes.